the Lord. All the way, keep trusting in His work. King for the Son, watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day. If we follow Jesus, He will lead. He will then supply our every need. Absolute success is guaranteed. Walking in the goodness of the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord all the way. Keep trusting in His word every day. Keep looking for the Son. Watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day. Jesus is our Savior, God and King. We can look to Him for everything. After all He's done, let's shout and sing. Walking in the goodness of the Lord. The Lord all the way. Keep trusting in His word every day. Keep looking for the Son. Watch and pray. Keep walking, trusting all the way. Looking, watching, praying every day.
Kaylee Blythe, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. All right, 387. I will follow. There's a theme here. Walking with the Lord, follow the Lord. So.
I will follow Thee, my Savior, wherever the pathway may go. The storm or through the valley or through great trial so low, I trust in Thee.
Shepherd, lead on. All right. right, last one, 482, dwelling in Beulah land. If we walk with the Lord and we follow the Lord, then we'll be dwelling in Beulah land.
Strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on a mountain underneath the sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on a manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Doing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. His blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land. I'm living underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on a manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Amen. Good singing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Elena. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Whew, that was some good eating. How many of you ate one too many dessert? All right, okay, that was me right there. I was eating the last dessert, and I said, I shouldn't be doing this. But this is glutton. Well, we're not preaching on gluttony tonight, so I won't. But it's an opportunity here this evening to kind of review some of these truths that we have looked at in the past in regards to giving and finances, but also in light of faith promise giving. And so it has really been a delight. We have given out over between $40,000 and $50,000 a year, and that is over and above the tithes and offerings of our church as a faith promise to the Lord. And so if that's something that's maybe a little bit, most have probably familiar with that of being here, but others that are that may be new, what we do is we just ask the Lord to, we make a pledge and say, all right, Lord, I want to do this for missions. I want to give this amount. And we make that as a commitment so that as the church, we can plan for taking on missionaries. And we've been in a place now for several years where we need more missionaries to take on for our missions budget. And I just praise the Lord for that. So I just want to just touch on a few things in terms of principles of giving for us and how that impacts our faith promise giving. The very first thing that we need to understand is that to be able to give to others and to give to God's work really is what the Bible calls a grace. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 8:1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Those churches gave out of their poverty, they gave very generously to the Lord's work to help the Apostle Paul and his missionary work, and also they were giving, ultimately in this place, they were giving to collect money for their brothers and sisters who were Jews that were in Jerusalem, that were going through an incredible persecution, lost a lot of their supply, their houses, their jobs, and things like that. And so there was great needs. There was famine there, and they were taking up money to meet that need. And so when we find this, if we're going to do something for God, it's not for us doing something for God, but it's God doing something in us and giving us a desire and a willingness and an ability to give. You know, you've got to have something to give before you can give. And God is the one who supplies it all. And I'm looking forward to, we're going to be looking at, there's a particular grace in terms of a gifting from the Lord, and that's the gift of giving. And I'm looking forward to that in Romans chapter 12 when we look at that. We do see that when we give to God, it is possible for us to give even beyond what we believe is possible. And we find that here in verse 3. It says, for to their power, the idea of power here is their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so for these believers, their testimony is that they gave even beyond what was in their ability to give. And so it was a great sacrifice that they were making. I think that's a great word. There is an aspect, I think, of the David when he came to the Lord and he was going to consecrate the ground on which the temple would ultimately be built on. And the death angel was coming through and he wanted to make a sacrifice to before the Lord and before the angel of the Lord. And there was that man, I think Onan, wanted to give the whole property and the oxen and everything. And David makes this statement, I cannot sacrifice to the Lord something that costs me nothing. And so I think there ought to be in our hearts a desire to say, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because what he's done for me, I want to give even beyond what I think is possible for myself, to make a sacrifice for the Lord. We see in verse 5 that giving is a statement of our giving ourselves unto the Lord. He says that this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So when we place the money in the offering plate, whether that be a tithe or whether that be for faith promise, it really is just a token. It ought to be a symbol for us in our own hearts saying, God, this is just a portion of myself, but I've given you my all. And I'm glad to give you some of my money as a reflection of my dedication to you. The standard of our giving, as I've mentioned here, I was trying to hold back that, but that's found in verse 9. He says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." What's the standard to which we ought to emulate in the gift and the sacrifice we make? Jesus Christ said, he was completely rich, and yet he was, after he's coming to give his gift, he becomes poor. He takes on humanity. He dies for us so that in our poverty, we might be rich. We can't outgive the Lord. His sacrifice is so great. And there's not a one of us that are going to give something that is going to impress heaven. Because heaven has given it all for us. And I think there's an aspect we ought to make a testimony in terms of what we're doing, saying, Lord, because of what you've done for me, I'm gladly willing to give to you. There's an aspect that God wants us to have a willing mind. And the standard to which he calls for us to give is found in verse 12. He says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And so he says, I don't mean to burden you beyond what's necessary. And I want to be careful about that too. And I don't put a squeeze or a push on you to say, you just throw out a number and God's going to meet that number. Now there's an aspect that God can do. What I want you to do is, in this is called faith. Faith promise. I want you to trust God for what he's going to do in your life. But faith is not tempting God. Faith is not jumping off the temple and saying, God, you got to catch me. There is an aspect of which I believe what God would have us to do is to, it's accepted, God's gift is accepted according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And so I'm not asking you to make a pledge of money that you don't have or something that would be an incredible amount that you couldn't reach and overextend yourself. I think there's an aspect in my own life, my own principles that I've seen is I want to give just a little bit more. And to expand that and say, God, I want to give to you some more. I want to see you grow that and continue to watch him build your faith through the years. And just as God provides and as he gives, give back according to him. And then I'm going to turn us over just a few more principles, but let's turn to chapter 9. And he says, I think we'd be remiss to not read these verses 6 through 8. He says, "Now this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." This is not a call for the health and wealth gospel, but this is a principle of Scripture that if you are willing to give generously to the Lord, God will bless you. And as I've heard old preachers say, God is no man's debtor. You can't outgive God. There's an aspect, always a neat thing to try and watch God meet your needs. And he says, but if you'll sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So it ought to be in our hearts to say, God, I trust you. I believe you. I believe what you said. The law of sowing and reaping, that in any time when I'm giving to the Lord, that is making a deposit in a heavenly bank. And the interest is all up to God. But let's make sure that we do this not grudgingly, but cheerfully. Verse 7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." See the heart behind this? We're kind of summarizing all these things. It ought to be because for the sake of his name, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I'm so glad that I get a chance to show him how much I love him. That's what God loves. But don't do this because everybody else is doing it. Don't do this because you feel backed up into a corner and you would feel bad if you didn't do it. Nope. Keep seeking the Lord until you're delighted from Him to say, God wants me to do this, and I am so glad that I have an opportunity. And so that's what we do. We purpose in our heart. We make a commitment to the Lord and say, all right, God, I think this is what you want me to do, and by God's grace, you're going to help me to do it. And that's what verse 8 is all about. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Remember those promises I was talking about this morning? This is one of those promises. Far exceeding promise that you can apply to every stage of your life. God is able. That's who He is. And He has grace, and He will make all grace abound and spill over to me so that I would have always, there's never a point that I don't have all sufficiency in all things to abound into every good work. And this good work that He envisions is that through our giving to the Lord, there are going to be people who receive that gift and they stop and say, thank you, God, according to verse 11, and it brings glory to His name. I'd encourage you to read our latest missionary letter that just came in from the Tillmans. And they show on their things pictures of people and kids and lepers who are receiving gifts for Christmas just a couple months ago through the financial giving that has come from this church and for others like us. And there are people who are holding up gifts and they are thankful to the Lord because you gave and you may not even thought much about it and it became kind of a routine, but somewhere around the world throughout, people are praising and glorifying God. And that is added to our account. And so it is with this great joy that we have a part to play in the glory of God through the giving that we're going to give. And so... thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. So I'll just explain a little bit of the mechanics. I know some of the ushers have them. So ushers, if you want to come and just pass out faith promise commitment slips and those aspects, those have on there for two blanks for you. And we're doing a little bit different than we've done in the past, but hopefully it'll make it kind of clear. We need two sets of information from you. If you would like to participate in it and God's burdened your heart, then you just indicate in there how much the Lord, as you purposed in your heart, doesn't have a name on it, just write down on there how much you believe the Lord would have you give, and then you can put down on there how often. So some, they give on a monthly basis. Others give a one-time, maybe just a solid amount that God's laid on their heart. Others give something every week to Faith Promise. So there's a lot of different ways to do that, but we do need two pieces of information. Someone says, I'm going to give $1,000. And they don't put the second part. Then I say, well, praise the Lord, they're going to give $1,000 a day. So no. it's important that you put down the second part of the information. Sometimes people put down the amount, but forget to put how often the Lord's burdening them to give that. So if you're not really sure about that, you can just kind of give a total number, and if you have any question about how to do that, I'd be glad to answer that. And that's something that you can take with you, and if you are ready, you can put that in the box in the back. We have one of the offering boxes. Brother Don kind of collects all those up, and we go through them and look at the amount that's pledged. We kind of compare that to last year and then make our decisions on missionaries and things that we can take on so that makes an impact on how we do that. So that'll be a great help to us. And so you can hang on to that if you're still praying about it. Put it in an offering plate next Sunday or another time. But we're going to be doing this a little bit later. And we haven't really had many missionaries. we haven't had any missionaries to over this past month, but that's in the providence of the Lord. But we do have one, Lord willing, next month. They'll be here. And we have others that we're rescheduling and we'll take them on as God allows us to do that. So I'm glad for that opportunity. So, all right. If anyone had any questions about Faith Promise, make sure I've explained it clearly enough. All right. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to take, we just go directly right into the Lord's Supper, don't we, I think? So I think that's some, on business meeting, we put a little break here, but we're going to go directly in after the prayer here, and begin our time looking at the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, it is our joy and our delight to give of our financial means to you. And Father, you have been so faithful and so good. We would have nothing apart from you. And so, Father, I pray that as we as a church grow in the grace